Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So another interesting episode in the U.S.-Israel relationship during the Obama presidency is going to play out today at the White House. President Obama is meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The two leaders have not gotten along terribly well, although the surface personality details don't tell the full story, of course. And today the backdrop is rising tensions with Iran, threatening to disrupt oil supplies in the Persian Gulf and pushing ahead with its provocative nuclear program. We're joined now to talk about all this with David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, contributor to WQXR's The Washington Report. David Sanger, welcome to the program.
Good to be back with you, John.
So try to set this into some context. Are these two leaders who, in a sense, agree about the difficulty of Iran becoming a nuclear power from their perspective, their mutual perspectives, they agree on that. Are they going to be consulting on security issues or possibly even military issues in dealing with Iran? Or is this meeting more projecting to the rest of the world that they're actually best pals?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both going on. You know, what strikes me in talking to both President Obama's aides and to Prime Minister Netanyahu's is that the U.S. and Israel are pretty well sewed up on what the intelligence situation is. They both believe that Iran ultimately is interested in having either a nuclear weapon or a nuclear weapons capability, that is, the ability to make one very quickly. And they both believe that it would probably take about a year for the Iranians to put together the fuel and maybe another year to put together an actual weapon. The question is one of how much risk each one is willing to take, because in many ways, the Israelis say, you know, we may not know when they decide ultimately to build that weapon. And in fact, the history of American intelligence on this issue around the world is pretty poor back over the past 50 years of knowing the exact timing. And the Americans are arguing, you know, we have time. We can deal with this. You don't have to deal with it as a crisis right now.
Let's get a sense of the rhetoric coming from the White House. The president spoke with AIPAC at the AIPAC conference over the weekend. And this, of course, is always an important forum for laying out White House policy regarding Israel. Let's play one selection from that speech and get your reaction, David Sanger. Here's the president talking about all of the notions of there would be a military response against Iran.
Already there's too much loose talk of war. Over the last few weeks, such talk has only benefited the Iranian government by driving up the price of oil, which they depend on to fund their nuclear program. For the sake of Israel's security, America's security, and the peace and security of the world, now is not the time for bluster.
Was the president well received at that AIPAC forum?
You know, I was in the back of the room during the speech, John, and I thought that the response to him was a little bit tepid. When he did his more martial lines, there was greater applause. When he was calling for more negotiation, there was something of a silence or just a smattering of applause. But I thought what was interesting in the speech in that little segment that you just ran is that the president was discussing the exact conundrum that the United States and Israel find themselves in right now. They desperately want sanctions and diplomacy to solve this problem. And yet the more talk there is of war, the more the price of oil goes up, as the president says. It's up about 120 a barrel right now. And the more the price of oil goes up, the less the sanctions hurt the Iranians, because the increase in the price in oil makes up for something of their decreased sales. So this is one of those odd moments where even having a discussion of war in an effort to intimidate the Iranians actually in some ways strengthens the Iranian case.
Let's talk a little bit about Netanyahu here. There's a whole lot going on in the region. I mean, if we mention the Arab Spring as well as this Iran issue, is there confidence among the AIPAC crowd and even among Jewish Americans in the United States or pro-Israeli Americans in the United States that Netanyahu is up to the task of dealing with all this?
Well, certainly in the a year ago when the Arab Spring was just beginning, the Israeli reaction was pretty much to try to hold up their hands in hopes that they could stop the entire thing. They were very upset, for example, that President Mubarak in Egypt was ousted, and they blamed President Obama for speeding that ouster. And the reason they were concerned about it was they didn't believe that the peace treaty with Egypt could hold together if the Muslim Brotherhood or harder Islamist parties were in power. Now, right now, the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to, having won the election, is trying to actually get the reins of government. But there's no early sign that they're going to walk away from that treaty. Similarly, around the rest of the region, I think that the Israelis were more unhappy than happy about the instability. But in some places, they've come to accept that leadership that they have come to know, even if they have disliked, is going to go. And I think that starts with President Assad in Syria.
Let's take the perspective of Iranian policymakers in Tehran. If they're looking at this meeting and trying to assess what the relationship is between Netanyahu and Obama, are they likely to see solidarity or a sense of intimidation and being gun-shy about any military option whatsoever?
I think that the Iranians at this point have to be worried on a few different levels. First, if they do lose Assad, they lose their biggest ally in the Arab world and their way of moving arms and money to Hamas and Hezbollah. So their ability to retaliate might be somewhat reduced. Secondly, in some ways, the Iranians are worse off if the U.S. and Israel can't come to an accord here, because if they can't come to an accord, one would think the chances of an Israeli strike would rise considerably. Mm. If they can come to an accord, then it would be because President Obama has probably persuaded Prime Minister Netanyahu that some mix of diplomacy or sanctions, or don't forget this, more covert action might actually work. And I think it's covert action that will probably take a fair bit of the time today.
The price of oil, nukes in Iran, even the situation in Syria, all on display at the very important meeting today between Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Obama at the White House. David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, contributed to WQXR's The Washington Report. As always, thank you, David.
Thank you, John.